Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, let's talk some baseball right now. One of our favorite guests is Jason Heyward, the Cubs right fielder. And you talk about a historic week. It was a week ago at this time that he decided that he wasn't going to play. And we saw the movement, a powerful movement across sports that athletes are now using their voice. And we've talked to Jay Hay about that in the past. And then on the field, Jay Hay had some history with the outfield with him and Happ and Schwarber over the weekend. First time ever that they all hit two home runs in the starting outfield. That had never been done. So a heck of a week, and it's our pleasure to be joined by Jason Heyward right now on the Corona Hotline. Jay Hay, how you feeling?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, guys. Appreciate you having me. It's good to hear from you again.
It's always great to talk to you. So now that you've had you've distanced yourself a bit with some days, you've had conversations with friends, teammates. Mm-hmm. When you look back on what happened a week ago at this time, how that started, how do you feel about the way everything happened?
I still feel like at that moment in time, you know, we were kind of rushed. It was one of those things that was, you know, much like life, you know, it comes at you and you don't expect it. And, you know, going into that day, getting to the field, I let my teammates know that, you know, I was not expecting to not play. I wasn't, you know, thinking that that was going to be a part of my day in a situation that was going to be brought upon our team. But, you know, as we did see the NBA, you know, begin to say, okay, team by team, game by game, that they're not going to play and this is going to be a part of their, you know, bringing awareness, peaceful protest, and they're all going to get together and discuss things. You know, we as, you know, African-American black baseball players felt like that we had to hold our, you know, basically our vow, our word that we gave, you know, leading up to the season, that we're no longer just going to sit by and watch things happen and act as if we're not going to use our voices as well to be there for our community. So it was just naturally, you know, Mookie Betts had reached out to a group of us. And, of course, he was on the West Coast at the time. So they had time to discuss things and kind of go ahead and map out how they weren't going to play as a unit, as a team. But unfortunately, you know, we weren't given that, you know, chance with the Cubs. And it was a getaway day for us. There was so many things going on. John Lester's already on the bullpen, right? So, you know, I had to still let everyone know that this is what I needed to make happen for my community at the time. I hated doing it, but it was kind of, again, one of those things where you don't have a lot of time. And, you know, sorry to be so long-winded with that, but David Ross called me in, you know, in the office as well. And before I could even go to him, he came to me and let me know that he wanted me to make the decision I felt like I needed to make, and I was going to have everyone support, which I did.
Jason, you have been a leader inside that clubhouse since you were signed as a Chicago Cub. How do you feel about the support you've been given by your teammates throughout?
Throughout, it's been unbelievable. I mean, it's emotional for all of us. When we see anyone going through anything, you know, regardless of what it is, you know, in life, off the field, away from, you know, our jobs, you know, we feel for each other as family, and this has been no different, and it's actually brought us closer together. And, you know, that's just, you know, one of the, I guess, good things about, you know, going through things all together, from COVID, from, you know, the social things happening in our country right now. You know, everyone wants to be on the same page, and I think we've done a great job of doing that as a team and a family. And, you know, again, I couldn't feel more supported and more loved, and my teammates know that I have the same for them.
Can you draw a correlation between that support and how you feel inside the clubhouse to the success that you've had, because you're red hot right now at the plate? Is there any connection there?
I mean, I feel like that's always been there. That's something that's always there. It's something you have to earn. Also, you know, you know, obviously I came in here in 2016 from another team, and they already had a core group here being established, and they already had their own excitement, you know, being made and making the postseason in 15 and going far there. So for me, I definitely feel like it's something I've given off is you know, respect and care for all my guys, you know, not just teammates, but staff, you know, everyone that shows up here together as a Chicago Cub, you know, employee. So, I mean, yeah, I could say that's, you know, having that support is something that helps me on the field, but I feel like that's always been there. That's nothing new.
Right.
Jason.
But as far as just,
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, and Jason Hayward joining us on ESPN 1000. In retrospect, when you were talking about wishing you had more time, you were adamant that you wanted them to play. But in the big picture, like the Dodgers stood up with the time and Clayton Kershaw said, hey, we're here for our brother. We're here for Mookie Betts. Do you think that that's what would have happened with the Cubs, that the team would have not played and had your back in that regard?
No, I definitely think so. I mean, there were guys still coming to me, you know, after they ran out on the field and got loose and stretched and got warm, they came back inside and said, Jay, you know, this doesn't feel right. And I said, look, I can't tell you guys what to do. I'm not here to make this about anything more than, you know, than what it is for me and my community. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not in a spot to tell anyone right now that we can't play our game. You know, this is something we got rushed on. So I still felt like, yes, that we needed to play that game. I was going to be there in the dugout supporting my teammates. You know, the next day we had a day off. You know, a lot of teams that went ahead and played on that Wednesday, you know, they went on Thursday and did not play their game. You know, we didn't have that chance because we had a day off. So, again, I felt like the message got across. I felt like I was able to do what I needed to do for my community and at the same time be there to support my teammates and have their support. And, again, you know, this is, to me, it's not about being perfect. I don't think you can be perfect in this. But we all just want to try and do the right thing and be on the same page, and I think we more than did that.
Do you also feel the support from the Cubs front office and from Major League Baseball in general, Jason?
Well, I can't speak on Major League Baseball necessarily because, you know, I'm with the Cubs, and I feel like every team's different. You know, I haven't had too many conversations with them, with MLB here in the recent past. But as far as the Cubs organization, you know, absolutely. After that game, Theo Epstein, you know, sent me a text, said, Jay, I support you. I'm proud of you. You know, the guys that sat out, you know, you guys have to do something. You have to put action with words because there needs to be change. And then the next day he reached out letting me know that he and the other front office members were going to be donating their salaries as well, like the Players Alliance players did on the day that we sat out and on Jackie Robinson Day to contribute to social injustice around the country.
Jason Hayward joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. And we talked to you about this before the season started, and you've been so involved in the community. Besides awareness and how this happens where guys will sit out or guys will raise awareness inside the NBA bubble, what concrete change can we all do together? Or what is one aspect that you're looking to change besides just creating awareness?
Well, I mean, for one, we're trying to create funds, which we've been doing. That's nothing new. No, people are trying to, you know, donate money and time to create opportunities, to create after school spaces, to create athletic programs, to create educational programs. But we just think as a whole, you know, the awareness part is something that we have to bring. But there are opportunities that you can donate to. There are foundations that I'm a part of, like, I donate to, like, Future Ties by the Hand Club in Chicago on the South and West Side in Atlanta. LEAD organization, LEAD to Legacy, I believe is, like, their website, leadtolegacy.org. But those are just a few of many ways that all of us are trying to come up with to get back. Guys are selling their, you know, paraphernalia that we wear on the field and donating that to the good causes. We're just all trying to be on the same page. Kershaw, you know, stepping up and making sure that we all know that we're on the same team here and we're all baseball players, we're all athletes, and we support each other and our causes.
How about collectively on the diamond, Jason? You guys are 21-14, leading the Central Division. You feel good about where your team is at right now?
Well, I mean, right now we're in first place, but, you know, this is just today. I think we're doing a good job of taking things one day at a time. I think we're doing a great job of not being satisfied. And we all know that, you know, there are always going to be things we have to work on and things we got to do housekeeping-wise to make sure we can get where we want to be. But, you know, the injury bug is a tough thing I feel like we've seen throughout the game this season because, you know, it's not an easy time for people to rush back and get back on the field and compete with the schedule and whatnot. So I think that's you know, that's a tough part that we had to deal with this past homestand. You know, playing the, you know, doubleheaders against St. Louis, playing some good teams, obviously, that we know, Milwaukee, you know, White Sox, and we're going to come up against that again here, but we just got some guys back, and if we're healthy, I really like it. So right now we got some guys back, we made some additions, and I think we still have that excitement to keep pushing forward.
Jason, if you're healthy, how does this year's team compare to last year's, the year before? You've been here for a while now, so how does this compare to Cubs teams of the past?
Well, to start, if we're healthy, then to me that's already one up in last year's team because I feel like injuries really got us. With Cole Hamels going down, John Lester going down a little bit, Wilson, you know, going down a couple of times, you know, Javi going down there late in the season. Things like that are, you know, people don't realize those are wins. All those people that I just named, those are wins for our ball club. But on the other side of that is our experience. Experience in not, you know, making the postseason, experience in having, you know, that new perspective on some of these guys that have only been here that only know winning. And when you miss out on that for the first time, that's a new challenge. That's a new gut check. And I think we've answered that call, and that's something that we have to continue to keep with us to keep us hungry and keep us motivated, you know, in other aspects other than just, oh, you know, you can show up. We know we've gone out on the field. We made the postseason. This is normal. Well, you got to continue to earn that.
Jason, when this all started, when you guys got the go-ahead to start this season, and you knew it was going to be an experience like, you know, no other that you've had, 35 games in, has the experience been the same? Could you have predicted it would have gone like this? Has it been harder to deal with all of the different stuff that's going on with COVID and everything else? How would you explain to people how difficult it is to play baseball under these current circumstances?
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I feel like I don't even want to try to explain it because people are just going to say you guys are complaining and you're making more money than, you know, the rest of the world and going out there and doing your job. You know, so that's where I'm at with it. And I think that's been our mindset. You know, yeah, it is harder. Yeah, we do have to do, you know, more things. I would say, if anything, you compare it to, you know, playing in the minor leagues, but, you know, being asked to do it at the big league level. You know, being asked to not show up as early. You can't stay as late. You know, your day is, you know, planned out for you even more with more restrictions. And so just dealing with more obstacles, basically, to go out here and just play the game. Of course, having no fans is different. It's a different vibe, but I think we just all have to, again, you know, keep in perspective that there are people out here that are not able to make, you know, anywhere close to the money we're making to support our families during a tough time that the whole country and world is going through. So I think that's our mindset. You know, it is tougher. It is. I mean, I guess the one thing I will point out to is that how many people are getting hurt and injured. You know, you see people on the IL, and that's a tough thing to overcome when, like I said, we've been asked to rush back, have 3 weeks of spring training, and come out here and compete for a World Series.
What about some of these rule changes? I want to go over a couple of them with you. Do you like the extra inning rule?
I mean, I like it because I feel like it speeds up the game. but also, in a situation like last night when – you know, we got a run home in the top of the 10th, but also so did they. I think it also makes it a little bit more challenging to end the game at times because you got to stop somebody from executing. So it just puts more emphasis on, can you get them over? Can you get them in? And then more importantly, can you go out there and stop them from doing the same thing the next inning?
What about the 7-inning doubleheader? Waddle hates it. Do you like it?
I like it because it's a lot easier on my body. I'm trying to tell you, and then you have no fans, and then it's done, you know, 35, 40 minutes in between. So it's a lot easier on our bodies, a lot easier on the pitching staff. I mean, I feel for these relievers, and in times like this when, you know, guys got to be up and ready to go for both games.
How about the new rule with regard to relievers where everybody that comes in has to face at least three batters?
I mean, I'm for that rule. I can get why maybe some people wouldn't like it. I know everyone has, you know, their own opinions, and there's pros and cons to every rule. But, I mean, I'm hoping one day that this opener crap will be out of the game as well. You know, especially if teams have a starter listed, like, you know, Pittsburgh, this is not like talking crap or anything like that. But, you know, Pittsburgh had a certain starter listed to start, you know, yesterday for today's game. And I believe he's not starting the game now. They're throwing a righty to start it. So we set our lineup one way in hopes of that. And then the lefty's going to come in the game and pitch. Like, to me, that's kind of getting away from the game of baseball a little bit. Like, I get it. Everyone wants to have an edge. Everyone wants to win and wants to compete. I understand there's times where you need to move your, you know, your pitching staff around to help, you know, accommodate for, you know, long innings and things like that. But if this guy that was supposed to start is perfectly healthy, then to me, you had him listed 2 days, or you had him listed to start the day before the series started, then he's got to start for me.
Yeah. But, is that why Rossi put out the lineup that he did today that looks a little different?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I think if things were going normal, you might still see him, I guess, put this lineup out. So if the lefty started, I think you would have seen him put this lineup out today. But also at the same time, you know, we just had some additions. You know, obviously Cam Maven. We just got KB back. I know he's not in there today to rest. But, you know, also Souza is back. And we need some guys to be able to get out there and play, man. You know, so we just had an off day. We got to get some guys reps. We got to have them ready for the rest of the season as well. So I think that's a big part of, you know, the lineup looking like it is today, on top of the schedule we're about to take on here in the next couple of weeks.
Jason, it sounds like when you get to the postseason that you will be playing in a playoff bubble. How do you feel about that?
I feel like just added to the storybook for 2020. You know, this is like, if anything, I just know that I'm going to look back on all this stuff and realize that, I mean, there may not be anything that we experience like this again when it comes to playing baseball or playing a professional sport. You know, this is taking it backwards for us. I guess that's the way I can paint a picture for everyone. When you played AAU baseball or AAU basketball, you had your tournament, you know, you had a bunch of teams all travel and go to one location and just kind of dumb things down, and it was nothing but that every day. That's what we're living right now.
Right.
You know, so it's a tough thing to do when it comes to being away from family, being away from kids, you know, not seeing your parents, you know, siblings, things like that. And, you know, but it's just something that's nice to have. At least we can all relate to it, and we can keep things in perspective.
Jay, hey, before we let you go, you know what the pressures are like when you sign a big deal. How impressed have you been by Yu Darvish after what he went through the first 2 years here?
Oh, it's outstanding, man. You know, his work ethic is, you know, second to none. You know, he's continued to push himself, and he's continued to expect better of himself. And I think that is the start of it, but also, you know, us just wanting him to fit in and feel comfortable. So when you do sign a contract, yes, that is a lot of pressure and a lot of weight. But also just the natural, you know, situation of going into a new clubhouse, going into a new situation, a new system, and trying to settle in and refine yourself in that. So I think that's something I can also relate to in getting over here. So obviously happy to see him settle in out there on the mound and feel like himself, because that helps us. But it's just nice to see a guy, you know, put that work in and get out there and have some fun and success for the hard work he's putting in.
Jay, I just want to tell you, Waddle and I have been on the air for more than 13 years, and we've dealt with a lot of athletes. And the way you stand up and your candor, we always appreciate it. You're a great leader and someone to look up to. We appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Jason.
No, thank you for having me, fellas. You guys stay safe. Take it easy.
See you too. There you go. Jason Hayward. He's fantastic to talk to. I mean, if you haven't heard him with us, and again, like, you could argue, like, hey, what is his role been? And he's having a really good year this year.
He's having a fantastic year so far this year.
Yeah, and like, through the ups and downs of 16 and 17 and 18 and 19, the one thing Jason Hayward has always been is there to answer questions.
Stand-up guy.
and to explain the way things went. And I thought that was really good of him to say, look, if they had more time, he would have thought that the rest of the team would have sat, even though he said.
I felt that way. I think we both felt that way when it happened. Like, the Dodgers had the benefit of extra time. And as he said, look, John Lester's warming up in the bullpen. And, like, I get, and I think you made a really good point that the optics, you would have just liked as a Cub fan for everybody to do exactly what the Dodgers did. But I also understood why they did what they did, the other guys.
He did lay it out in a perfect way. I want to talk about the extra inning rule while we're on the subject, because I love it. We'll debate that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I was not happy with extra innings yesterday, Waddle.
You weren't happy?
Well, I...
Why? Because they lasted too long and you wanted
right.
to go to sleep?
You had a 71-minute rain delay.
Wasn't the extra innings fault, was it?
Well, no. After a rain delay, then you get into extra innings. You had a 6-1 lead. It was 6-5 during the delay, the home run. And, like, I've told you, the kids have been in our face. And not only are they in your face 24-7 because they're not going anywhere, but they've been waking up like roosters. I mean, it's Mike, I've been blessed with good sleepers. Our two kids are good sleepers.
Yeah, then so you should stop complaining right there.
But they wake up earlier and earlier every day. It's like in the fives now, and they're older, and it's driving me crazy. So when I had to, like, I stay up till 11:30 last night because of the game. So I wasn't thrilled about that. I needed my beauty sleep. But I'll tell you this.
I'm not going to lie to you. I as much as I tried to stay awake, I cashed after the 10th.
You did? You said no more?
I had to look at the phone when I woke up to find out who won.
I love the extra innings. I think it creates so much added strategy, and it makes things more exciting and does wrap up quicker. It is so much to me like the college extra, the overtime.
Let me tell you something. If I was a baseball manager, and you can pan this all you want and say, well, that's why I'm not a baseball manager. There are a lot of reasons why I'm not a baseball manager. But barring something strategically that would be different in terms of who would be coming up next, I'd automatically put the guy on first. I'm creating a force out as many places as humanly possible.
Well, for sure in the bottom half, but in the top half, Waddle, you can't. The one thing you don't want to do is force your pitcher into giving up multiple runs.
I get it. So I get a lot of people are saying you're basically just acknowledging that the guy on second is going to score.
Right, right. So then if you put first and second nobody out, you have a greater chance, math-wise, to just score more runs. So why would you do that?
Well, but I also have an opportunity. I have a force out situation.
You do. You do. That's the way things are going.
Okay, so think
of
this. Think of this. Okay, I got a runner on second. I give you a free pass. Guy hits a ball to center field. My center fielder catches it. Guy at second tags. Guy at first doesn't.
Right.
Now I'm set up for a double play to get out of the inning.
True, true.
So, like, I would rather do that. Here's the deal, too. Get somebody's ass out. All right, I'm not going to take a defeatist approach. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take an aggressive approach. You can have a guy on second because baseball says that. You can have a guy on first because I say that.
See, that's what you're playing right into my hand. That's why I love this. Do you see the strategy we're talking about?
I understand what you're talking about.
That doesn't happen in the 10th. With college football, it's the same way about, hey, when do you kick the field goal? Do you go for seven? When do you go on fourth down? You know, you always usually go for, with the second team, you always have the advantage in the way it rotates. Like, games are played differently all the time through all sports in extras. So why not, in the regular season, keep this thing and make it more exciting?
My argument to that would be I'd like to be more dependent on the players and less dependent on the strategy.
You're still dependent on the players.
I know, but I'd be even more dependent on the players if we play the extra innings the way we play the regular game.
Black Abdallah, do you guys like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Wait a second. Let me just say this. You understand they're fans of brevity. Okay,
yeah,
so just
but
so
I,
you know that.
I think Abdallah's gone against this before.
It's and the, just to make it shorter and quicker is not really what I look for, because a good playoff game, I'll sit and watch a good baseball playoff game, a five-hour game. I have no issue with that.
So, by the way, let me interject this. This is just for the regular season, right?
Right. The brevity, yes, okay. The brevity is for the dog days of when we get to July, when we know who the teams are going to the playoffs, but we still have 2 months left till we get there. That's the issue I have with baseball.
I've always said, too, Chris, that, like, doing this is – I've always heard Theo say it, because you it just – it's so taxing on your arms. Well, I mean, like –
yeah,
it's part of the game. Like, to put the rule in place just because you don't want to tax your bullpen arms, everyone's got the same disadvantage.
So, but to answer your question, at first I thought it was a bit gimmicky, but watching it in play, I kind of like it.
Yeah,
you're right. There's a lot of strategy there that you can think about. Yeah.
I say college football or hockey overtime with the shootout. Like, in the regular season, you do things one way just to wrap up a game because you're in the dog days and you just don't want to play forever. And then in the playoffs, you'll get your five-hour, 14-inning game possibly, like the White Sox played against the Astros in the World Series. And you won't have this gimmicky rule.
I'm not railing against it. Like I said to you, I think when you asked this question a while ago, if I don't really notice it that much, then that means I'm okay with it. The seven-inning doubleheader thing to me is the one that sticks with me a little bit more.
Oh, even the players love it. Better on their bodies.
Brevity.
Come on.
Brevity.
Yeah, Jay Hay is on our side.
I know.
Jay Hay is on our side.
Or immediacy.
I got no problem being the old guy in the room. None. If you think you're shaming me, you got another thing coming, you little whippersnapper. I don't care about being old.
Do you would you be more in favor of the extra inning rule if they started on first base instead of second base?
I don't really care. I like it the way it is. I love it. I love it.
Love's a strong word.
I do. I love it.
I think we throw the words hate and love around a little too carelessly.
We're starting. There's urgency. There's just urgency. There's a runner on second. What are you going to do? Like you said, do you walk a guy?
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry should be able to get him from second to third. There's no skill in that.
Well, see, yesterday when we were betting dingers, I was like, all right, well, now it's tied again. Another opportunity for a dinger.
Right, exactly. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. We got Waddle's World coming up. Chuck Garfine talks White Sox with us at 4 o'clock.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Let's do this. Waddle's World's brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks and a great partner of ours. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. You know what was trending today on Twitter?
Alvin Kamara.
It may have been, but, like, that was nonsense, wasn't it? Like, even when we were talking about it yesterday, it felt kind of weird even talking. I mean, they were not going to trade him.
Yeah.
They're not going to trade him.
Well, they said 4 teams called. Do you believe the Bears were one of them?
No. I don't. I may be wrong. Often am. But I don't believe they were.
I bet they were.
You think they were?
Yes.
Why? Because Ryan Pace has got a first-round pick burning a hole in his pocket right now. And he could get, whoa, hot potato, hot potato.
What do I do with this thing? I'm supposed to draft someone again?
No, Kirk Cousins was trending today.
Oh, yes.
And the whole, like you say that, but like, again, everyone has focused on his quote saying from
We have
about,
it. Don't we have it, Black? Do we have the song? You guys want to play it? Instead of quoting him, you want to hear it, Waddle?
Go ahead.
Rudolph has like a huge sneeze. Does everybody freak out? It's odd, right? What do you do?
Well, I even think within the building, there's going to be a dichotomy of people who couldn't care less about the virus, have no concern about it, have never lost a minute of sleep about it. And then you get people on the other side of the spectrum who every second of every day they're consumed with fear about it. And so what you don't know is who's where on the spectrum when you first go back. And so some of it is just, you know, when you're with a smaller group and you know everyone in the group, you know, is not as concerned, then, you know, is there a way to not freak out when someone sneezes? But then the flip side is, yeah, if you're in a huddle and you know one of these guys is deathly concerned about it, you're not going to disrespect him and sneeze in his face. So we've just got to factor in our audience and the situation. But I mean, we're talking about wearing face shields and
I don't know how
we're going to breathe at practice if we're doing that. But at the same time, if that's the protocol and we have to abide by it to have a season, we've got to find a way to make it work.
On that spectrum, if one is the person who says masks are stupid, you are all a bunch of lemmings, and 10 is I'm not leaving my master bathroom for the next 10 years, where do you land?
I'm not going to call anybody stupid for the trouble it could get me in, but I'm about a 0.000001.
Yeah. Really? How come?
Yeah. You know, I just, I want to respect what other people's concerns are, but for me personally, if you're just talking, no one else can get the virus. What is your concern? If you could get it, I would say I'm going to go about my daily life. If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature do its course. Survival of the fittest kind of an approach and just say,
yeah.
If it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. You know, even if I die, I die. I kind of have peace about that. So that's really where I fall on it. So my opinion, you know, wearing a mask and is really about being respectful to other people. It really has nothing to do with my own personal thoughts.
Doesn't that highlight the entire issue? Like, I know everyone, you know, just immediately the Twitter crew got all over the if I die, I die. I kind of have peace about that part of the quote. But we've always been told that the masks aren't necessarily to protect you, they're to protect somebody else. So even if you don't believe that the mask is protecting you, the right thing for you to do is to put it on and be responsible about that. And that's what he's done. That's what he told you.
But didn't he say he's basically an anti-masker? Did he say that in a nice way?
He says to you that, and he's one of 320 million people in this country. Like, right. I don't agree with him, okay, about that. I think that, but what he's telling you is you ask a question, you got his honest response. But he also told you out of respect to other people, he wears the mask. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that what it's all about? Like, I don't care what your feeling is, as long as you do the respectful thing.
As long as you wear the mask. But that's what I'm saying. Wasn't he saying that he basically doesn't wear masks?
I don't believe that's the case. No. He's actually talking about it really being about respectful to others and that it really has nothing to do with my own personal thoughts. Cousins on a Zoom call today also clarified his comments, said that the interview for the podcast was taped in July and that he, quote, wasn't as clear as he would have liked to have been expressing himself. But my point is isn't that at the end of the day, you can judge Kirk Cousins whether or not he believes what you believe. But as long as he's wearing his mask and respecting others, isn't that the most important part of the discussion?
I don't care. You're right. If he wears the mask and he doesn't have a fit going into a Walmart,
right?
I'm cool with him. Of course, but if his theory on if I die, I die, that's basically like him throwing the interceptions. He just wings it anyway.
There's 1,000 jokes attached to some of the things he said. What was it? Mike Sando said something about tier three. Well, he's not the first time he's been put in tier threes. I don't know. There were a lot of good jokes.
Yeah.
I saw one that I enjoyed, and it was something about he's willing to risk his life not wearing a mask, but when it's 39, he checks down and the Vikings have to punt.
But he is like, wearing a mask.
That's how he plays football.
Well, that's where we're
he is wearing a mask to protect other people. He's showing them the respect that they deserve. Isn't that what's supposed to be? His full quote, I want to respect what other people's concerns are. For me personally, just talking, no one else can get the virus. What is your concern? If you could get it, I would say I'm going to go about my daily life. If he's wearing the mask, why do I care?
But wasn't this the question about the scale 0 to 10?
Yeah, it's more,
zero wearing more about a mask, 10, zero never wearing a mask, 10 always wearing a mask. Isn't that the way he phrased it, or did I mishear that?
He said about
no, you're right.
0.00001.
Yeah, so basically he's saying, like, I don't believe in any of this, but I guess I'll wear it because I'm supposed to.
What is the most important part of that conversation?
Wearing the mask.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I would also suggest someone who has a forum suggesting that it's not a big deal is probably a problem, too, but we don't have to get into that.
He's wearing his mask.
Yeah, yeah. He also is discrediting the point of wearing the mask. Like, I get it. He, yeah, okay.
I know what Waddle's saying, because whether or not you think that the mask works or not, like, you could show me this or show me that. Just, like, what is, like, the juice worth the squeeze thing that Waddle says? What's the harm in wearing the mask, even if you don't totally believe
nothing.
In it? And that's why.
I've been screaming, like, if you love ball, wear a mask. If you want ball in the fall, wear a mask.
Like, getting into the fights in the grocery stores is so over the top.
It is. I wouldn't connect those two. Those, you know, I'm not, I would think that connecting those two, and I'm not suggesting you are, but if someone is out there connecting the fight in the grocery store to Kirk Cousins saying to you, hey, if it was up to me, I wouldn't wear the mask. But out of respect to others, I wear the mask. You know, football players, if you were worried about your health overall to begin with, you wouldn't play the game to begin. You know, I mean, so guys are wired differently. Look, I'm sure he is never worried about how people are going to respond to what he has to say. That's true and has been for years.
Who, Cousins?
Yes. I mean, like, he doesn't.
You like that?
Basically, yes. But, like, look, I get what Chris is saying. Well, use your forum to...
It's all-encompassing, right? Because I'm sure there is someone who is a Vikings fan will hear his comments and say, see, Cousins doesn't believe in it. So when I go into this Walmart, you all can take that, and I'm not wearing my mask.
But
you see what I'm saying? Like,
Kirk's telling you that he wears it.
He reluctantly wears it because he wants to continue playing football. Like, it's a mixed... Like, you'd like him to say.
Well, I reluctantly wear mine as well. I mean, I don't love wearing it, but I wear it wherever I go.
You understand that you wearing it in public is not only protecting you at some point, but it's also, for the most of it, is protecting others. You understand that.
I do.
We all have to buy in.
I'm just not overvaluing Kirk Cousins being influential on the front that you're talking
about.
Like,
I don't think he should get brownie points because, like, through that long-winded answer he gave that he conceded that he wears it.
I don't think he should get brownie points. I don't think he should be castigated as well because he doesn't feel the same way that other people do.
Probably wears it with his nose out.
The Don Cooper method.
The worst. Every time I see Coop, that is so annoying.
It's so Coop, though, isn't it? If you've ever pictured Don Cooper, how he would wear a mask, he wears it exactly the way you would think.
You don't wear your pants with your zipper down.
I do wear it with my zipper down.
Don't wear your mask with your nose out. It's like wearing your pants with your thing out. It's the same thing.
I think about that every time I see a nose out in public now.
You think about having your stuff out. I don't connect those dots either, Adam.
Really? You will from now on.
Nope. You will now.
Michael Jordan, guess what? Michael Jordan has joined DraftKings as a special advisor, and he's taken an ownership stake in it.
I mean, if there's ever been an endorsement for him, and there's been many.
There were a lot of jokes about that as well.
Yeah, the gambling endorsement is right up MJ's alley.
Do you think Jordan's like, oh, a $23 promotion? I can't wait to bet that.
You know what? I emotionally hedged the Pirates bet yesterday. The Pirates were plus 100 with the Cubs up one run in the 10th, and I put $10 down on the Pirates.
I don't understand you sometimes, but anyway, okay. Neymar has coronavirus, and he's going to miss the PSG's league opener. So.
Oh, Neymar does?
Yeah, Neymar has it.
Oh, that stinks.
There's a full slate of MLS, right? Abdallah, isn't that what you were showing me today?
Yeah, like 10 games tonight. All the overs.
Are they still as clean now as they were back in the bubble? Because they're not bubbleized.
They're playing at Soldier Field.
Are they?
Yeah. Are they tonight in Soldier Field?
They were their last game. I don't know if they're there tonight. I have to look.
All right.
And for you college football fans, Georgia quarterback Jamie Newman has opted out to prep for the NFL draft.
Roll Tide.
We've heard that. You were telling me as well, Abdallah, that LSU has had a lot of guys that have opted out as well.
Their team has opted out. Their best wide receivers opted out. Half their defense has opted out. Everybody's opting out.
Hey, when we come back, I have the nuttiest story of the day for you, and it is Wednesday, right?
Yes, it's Wednesday.
Okay,
it's
so
Wednesday.
We have Florida or Ohio as well. This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruits. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You know what time it is? It is time for the nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball
is bound to get a little nutty.
You know that. A man attacks wasp's nest with flamethrower, badly stung, and sets fire to a tree.
That sounds like you, what you were doing like a couple weeks ago.
I don't have a flamethrower.
But you were trying to get rid of it by yourself.
I just had a can of Raid that was I was spraying at the bee's nest, and I got stung in the calf. A man was left significantly stung and in need of firefighters' help after scorching a wasp nest with a flamethrower. Fire crews were called out to his home last Tuesday night after the man tried to destroy a wasp nest using a blazing weapon. The swarm of insects did not take too kindly to the inferno and attacked him in their stinging tails in retaliation. It not only set the tree next to him on fire, but he also got stung. Firefighters had to hose the tree down, presumably risking getting stung themselves. The fire service did not provide further details about the man or his injuries. An eventful night for the fire service folks. So don't use a flamethrower to kill wasps or bees.
Yeah, that's good advice, Waddle. You've got some good advice.
Before we get to Florida or Ohio, did you see David Blaine and his balloon stunt?
No, I did not. Should I Google that?
Yeah, Google that. I'll send you to Google.
Easy on the word stunt.
What do you mean stunt?
More gimmick. Let's call it a gimmick.
No, it was a stunt.
Let's call it what it is.
No, he went up there.
He was strapped in and had a parachute.
Yeah, but what do you think he was going to hold on?
Bleck and I had this conversation
earlier.
That's the same thing I said. He had a safety wire.
It was far more dangerous.
Unless you're literally cheating death, I'm out.
Then it's not a stunt.
He was losing oxygen. He was trying to control his breathing.
Could he breathe?
He had to undo straps.
Could he breathe or could he not breathe?
He had to stay conscious.
Could he breathe or could he not breathe?
He went over 20,000 feet.
Good for him. So I've done that in a plane. Double that.
Have you done that on the outside of the plane with a parachute attached to you and an oxygen tank?
Yeah, have you?
I would, because there's no risk
would.
Of dying.
No, there's a risk. There's no option.
He's got balloons and a parachute.
No, the balloons are just, they're going on.
I just don't think you'd do it. I don't think you'd do it.
I would. Put me up there. Let's go.
I don't think you'd do it. Let's go. I think you said you'd do it, but I don't think you'd do it.
Tie a bunch of balloons to my house like an up, and let's do this.
I will definitely, no matter what it costs, I will do it. I will set it up financially if you do it. You're going to do it?
He won't do it.
Broke boy up is what that was.
What?
Ridiculous.
What did he say?
Have you guys seen Up, the Pixar movie?
I know.
It's the saddest 15 minutes to start a movie
ever. Did you get high and watch it? Isn't it a cartoon movie?
No, it's
a cartoon.
It's Up.
Whoa, hold on.
You don't like
Up? It's a sad movie?
What is wrong with you?
I didn't say I didn't like it.
You don't like Up?
I didn't say that.
What is wrong with you?
I can't enjoy a good cry.
Oh, my God. Why don't you go watch some more Will Ferrell comedies because they're so hot.
I will. You know what? I will.
Guess what? He's going to literally get hit in the face with a rake. That's funny.
Trashing Up.
Seen that in every Looney Tunes commercial ever.
Can you believe this? You have kids? Up is great.
Let's play.
I haven't seen Up, though, yet.
What is happening here?
Well, sorry. Don't watch it. It's too sad.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home tonight, put my footy pajamas on, maybe have a little bowl of ice cream and watch it just to please you guys.
Sylvie, I'm telling you, don't do it. It's way too sad.
How old is Up? What is it, about 10 years old?
Probably.
It's been out for a while.
Yeah.
Why do I want to be sad?
The first 15 minutes
everything in my life is, well, my family's great, but everything else, is, you know, I mean, like, there's too much sadness
years,
to begin with.
2009.
I don't want to be friends with
sad.
You if you don't get a tear coming out of your eye from the first 15 minutes of Up.
I'm gonna take the Up challenge. We should do an Up challenge.
To see if you cry?
Will you cry in the first 15 minutes?
You will.
I think you will.
You will.
It's sweet.
I'll watch it. Is it Disney?
Yeah, Pixar, baby.
I have the Disney.
It's there for you.
Disney Plus, so I'm in. I will do this weekend.
I won't.
I don't know. Do we have time to play a game? I don't think we do.
Yeah, we do.
Can we do it a little later? We do have to stay on time, though, Waddle. We do have to have some sort
of... Okay, Dad. Whatever you say.
But we need to get to it. We will get to it, okay?
Yes, Dad.
Chuck Garfine joins us in 2 minutes. And also, Waddle, I just stumbled across a White Sox gimme bet, too. I'll share that when we talk to Chuck in 2 minutes.